Hey, John.
Hey.
Do you want to remind everybody about what's coming up in a few months?
You mean the big Mormon Expression live broadcast?
Live recording.
Yeah, what's the difference?
A recording is recorded, a broadcast is broadcasted.
You mean if I'm not there, I can't hear it live?
That's right. You can hear it later, though.
You mean I have to be there?
You have to be there if you want to participate in the live recording.
But what if I ain't got no dough?
It's not very expensive if you ain't got no dough. You just pony up about $5 or $10 and you're in.
Do I have to pay now?
You can pay at the door, but you do need to reserve your tickets in advance.
What happens if I don't reserve my tickets in advance?
There's a possibility that you might show up and there won't be any room for you.
Where's this happening?
It's at the University of Utah in the... What's the room called?
The Crimson Room.
The Crimson Room. So, reserve your tickets, be there or be square.
Hey, what else do we need to talk about? We also need to remind everybody about the essay contest.
It's a great opportunity to have your voice heard on Mormon Expression.
We need recordings of no more than 10 minutes, and your story can be anything to do with Mormonism.
Yep, and you'll have a chance to win $100.
$100.
Ding, ding.
Entries need to be in by July 1st.
We look forward to hearing them. Hi, welcome to another edition of Mormon Expression. I'm your guest host, Zilpha. And tonight we are going to have a hopefully interesting discussion with a lesbian couple who are both former Mormons, at least they grew up that way. First we have Ellie. Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
Do you want to do a little introduction about yourself?
Sure. I grew up in a small southern Utah town, raised Mormon. My parents, very Mormon, all growing up, and from a big family, oldest of 9 children. My grandparents are Mormon, my great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparents. So yeah, there's a history there.
Wow.
I work at a hotel. I don't know. What else do you want to know?
Oh, that's a great introduction. Thanks. And then we also have DJ.
Yeah, my name's DJ. I grew up Mormon, and my family is also very Mormon. And on my dad's side, they settled southern Utah and came from Switzerland as converts from the Mormon Church, and came down with Brigham Young and were dropped off in the southern Utah area, and they settled southern Utah. So my wow. heritage goes way back on actually both sides.
Wow, so you're both very Mormon in your family histories.
Yes. And I work with youth at a rehab center for drug addiction. That's what I do.
Well, that's a heavy kind of job to have. All right. Well, I guess we'd like to hear more about your stories, how you grew up as Mormons, and then kind of bring that into growing out of the church and how your sexuality played a role in both of those, if it did. Why don't we start with Ellie again? And let's hear more about your story of growing up Mormon.
Well, I was active all growing up, very active as a young woman, a teenager. Participated in the young women's and was a leader in young women's. And when I was a little girl, then there were some sister missionaries that came to our sacrament meeting and talked, and I thought, wow, that's cool that women can actually go on mission. So I kind of set that as my goal, that if I wasn't married by the ripe old age of 21, that mm-hmm. I would go on a mission.
I know, it seemed so old at the time, huh?
like really old, and I part of me kind of hoped that I would be married, but by the time I was 21, by the time I was 20, I kind of saw that there wasn't really anything on the horizon as far as dating. So I did prepare for a mission and go on a mission to Europe and served a mission, came home.
How was your mission experience? I mean, from the viewpoint that now you are in a lesbian relationship, how was that? Or did you have any idea at all at the time?
Well, ever since probably from when I was a teenager, every once in a while I'd have these feelings, but I would just rationalize them as being an admiration of women, of thinking that, you know, women are beautiful and it's okay to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a crush on a Spanish girl while I was on my mission. I didn't recognize it as a crush. I just thought that I thought she was beautiful and charismatic and everything. I didn't realize it was a crush until later.
So it's kind of as a post thought.
Right.
All right. So go ahead after your mission. And
I didn't really feel like I fit into my ward when I came home. I tried going to church for many years. I would be really active for months at a time and then stop going because I just didn't feel like I fit in. It took me a lot of years before I could actually say, yeah, I really do have an attraction to women, and maybe that's why I haven't dated men.
So you continued going to church for quite a long time, off and on, after your mission?
Yes.
Okay.
And in my mid-30s, I actually did start dating a man, seriously, and we got engaged. And it was when he moved in with me is when I actually finally took my garments off.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, I felt like it would be hypocritical to continue wearing my garments and living with a man. So,
yeah,
that's when that happened.
So he wasn't a member at all.
No, his mother is non-practicing Catholic and his father was non-practicing Jew. So religion really wasn't part of his life at all.
Okay. So at that point, it must have, you took off your garments and you were ready to marry a guy who was not Mormon in any way. So is that the point where you feel like you actually kind of left the church? Or did you still believe? Maybe you still believe.
I mean, I was still struggling. I didn't know what for sure that I believed. And that was kind of a transitional period for me.
Okay. All right. DJ, how about you? How was it growing up Mormon for you?
It was pretty tough growing up Mormon because I had these brothers that were always getting in trouble, drinking and using drugs. And my parents were pretty upset about that. So they tried to be hard on me, but they forced me to go to church and I really didn't want to go. So, I was baptized when I was 8 and stuff. And then when I was about 10 or 11, I started like thinking that the religion didn't really make sense to me, but they still forced me to go to church. And then when I was a teenager, I kind of started to rebel and drink and stuff like that.
So all their efforts didn't really pay off?
No, it just made me just rebel more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I had like crushes on girls and stuff, but I never really understood it.
Right. How old were you when you started understanding that?
I think I was about like 19 or 20.
Oh, wow.
I had my first girlfriend when I was 20. I think I probably would have came out a lot sooner, but growing up here in Southern Utah, I didn't know any gay people at all.
So you probably didn't have much of an idea that it even existed. I mean, it wasn't part of your life in any way from anybody that you knew or?
No, and I thought that something was really wrong with me to even think that way.
Right.
I thought like my parents would freak out if they found out that I had like a crush on my friend, and that my friend would freak out if she knew, and that something was like totally wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 20, like this girl from somewhere else moved here, and she was a lesbian, and she hit on me and stuff, and I really like had a hard time with it because I didn't know what to do about it, because
so
like
what
I
did
liked
you
her
do?
But yeah,
but
I didn't
it was
really
all
understand
new.
Yeah,
so did you after that did you hook up with her, or did
I did
was it just too scary?
I did for like off and on for about 3 years, and I really struggled at first with it. I felt like I was going to hell, and when I finally came, my mom kept asking me if she was my girlfriend, and I kept denying it, and finally I admitted it, and my mom totally freaked out and told me that she hoped I would change and stuff, and it was really hard. My mom would just cry like every day for like 3 months.
Wow.
And yeah, it was really hard.
But apparently she had some clue, or she wouldn't have kept asking you that in the first place.
Well, the girl kept sending me flowers.
Oh, yeah, that's a little odd for a friend, but, you know, you never know. So so it was difficult when you finally told your mom. She really struggled with it. What about any other family members? How did they react?
My brother, he thought I should be with a man, that he didn't believe I should be with a woman, and my other brother was totally fine with it.
So your one brother thought, just ignore what you're attracted to and be with a man anyway?
Yeah. And my other brother was totally fine with it.
At least you had somebody on your side, huh?
Yeah. My dad, we never really talked about it until, like, we still really don't really talk about it. It's kind of like an undertow thing. Like, him and my mom talk about it, but, like, me and him don't really talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it was harder for your parents to deal with you leaving the church or your sexual orientation?
It's kind of hand in hand, I think.
So
it's kind of such a taboo here. I think if it was somewhere else, it wouldn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're kind of embarrassed by it. The community here is, like, there's such a well-known name around here. And
oh, they're embarrassed to have a lesbian associated with their family? Is that?
I think so.
Okay. This is a little off subject, but when I speak about you as lesbians, is that how you like, how you want me to, I mean, how do you feel most comfortable talking about your sexuality?
That's fine. Lesbian is fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I consider myself a lesbian.
Okay. So that sounds better to you than like gay or?
Gay's fine too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm kind of naive about these things, I guess.
I'm technically bisexual, but since I do prefer women over men and I'm in a lesbian relationship, then I'm fine with being called a lesbian.
Okay. And Ellie, how did your family react to both of these things? You kind of leaving the church and also your sexual orientation.
I think it's kind of like with a DJ, it's kind of hand in hand, really. I actually came out to my siblings one at a time, took them aside, and most of them were very cool about it. I was very surprised. I kind of was lucky in a way because a couple of years before, one of my brothers came out to me and said, "Oh, by the way, I'm bisexual, and I've had a boyfriend," and so that made it easier.
So he paved the way.
Yeah, and there was a couple other siblings that I and their spouses that when I came out to them, they're like, oh, really? So am I.
Wow.
So that made it easier. And there was I think my last sibling to find out was my sister that's closest to me in age, who's active LDS. She found out because she was in a college class where she was helping someone edit some film. It was a film class, and the film that she was helping her friend edit was of Southern Utah Pride in Zion. And I just happened to be there. She's like, wow, that's my sister. And she called me. She's like, is there something you need to tell me?
Wow.
But she's been pretty cool about it. And my two siblings that are active LDS have been cool. And my one sister-in-law, who's very LDS, has been very supportive about it and understanding and patient. And it's been wonderful. My parents is a different story.
Oh, I was going to say you came out unscathed, sounds like. But yeah, tell us about your parents.
My dad, I actually came out to him in a text message because I'm a wimp. And he's been fairly understanding. He went through some tough times when he and my mom got divorced. And I think it made him more accepting of differences and weaknesses and whatever, you know, if he considers it a weakness. But yeah, so he's more understanding than he would have been, say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yeah, he realizes not everything is perfect and peaches and pie all the time. I mean, you know, life is complicated.
Exactly. And he said that, he's quoted this to me a few weeks ago. He said, I used to say, I'd love my children, whatever they did, even if they were gay. And I kicked myself in the butt there. I should have kept my mouth shut. Just kind of joking. And then my mother's a different story. She's active LDS and is having a really hard time with it because she had several of her kids come out to her right around the same time, and really hard for her.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how that would be a huge blow to a Mormon mother.
Yeah, there's out of the nine of us, then half of us, five of us are either bisexual or gay.
Well, that is a really interesting
thing. And two of my brothers are married to bisexual women. Yeah, so it's an interesting family.
Yeah, I've been thinking, John and I have had some conversations about how, you know, since you identify with being bisexual, how it seems like it's more common with women to have that, to be bisexual. Do you think that's true, or do you think it's just as common with men?
I don't know. In my experience, I know quite a few bisexual men, so my ex-fiance was bisexual, so two of my brothers are, so it's hard for me to, in my experience, there are a lot of bisexual men, but I think it's probably harder to come out as bisexual and be a man than it is to say I'm gay or I'm straight, you know, to...
Yeah, like it seems more rigid, or at least the culture is to have men more rigidly defined. I don't know why that is. It's more acceptable, I think, for women to be bisexual, just
right,
in our culture. Okay, so on with the interview. I'd like to hear more about you two as a couple and how long you've been together. How did you meet? You know, what brought you together?
Okay. DJ, do you want to do that? I got to get some water. Hold on.
Go ahead.
We've been together about 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We met through Southern Utah Pride, the website, I think is how we met.
Yeah, it was a Yahoo group, mm-hmm, for local gay people here in Southern Utah. And she saw my name and then noticed that I had a MySpace page and started writing me messages on MySpace. And it was maybe a week later than when we met in person, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So not very long.
Right.
But a true modern romance, meeting on the web.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you kind of hit it off right away and...
Yes, we did. Yeah.
All right, so how do you think Mormonism played into that? You're with both of you having a background, LDS background.
I think we come from the same culture, so like we have a lot of the same background and interests and stuff like that. Where I've like dated somebody that wasn't maybe from like a different area and different culture, and so they don't really understand the upbringing and stuff, like, and so it's just easier to get along with somebody, mm-hmm. for me anyways, that has the same upbringing.
Definitely.
And so does that play into your relationship at all now, or just as a foundation? I mean, have your families met your partner, and do you go to any church functions, you know, with them or together? What is your religious life like now?
I think the only thing church related that we've ever done was funerals, uh-huh. probably. And when my grandfather passed away, then DJ did come with me to, and it was at a Mormon church, and it was a very much a Mormon funeral. Mm-hmm. But we do things with our families, but nothing really church related.
Just more kind of get-togethers.
I don't believe in the Mormon church at all, so I try to avoid any Mormon churches or anything like that. So, like, if my mom invites me to church or anything like that, like, I try and totally avoid it. I can't even remember the last time I was at a church other than, like, a funeral.
So do you feel like that the disbelief that you have, did that come before or after you realized that you were a lesbian?
I think it came way before. Like, I was 10 or 11, I just stared out the window, and I was like, what they're teaching me is just a load of crap, and there's no way that that's just possibly true, and so I thought that, like, way before I ever came out as being a lesbian. And then the final straw for me to get my name off the books was the thing about, I think it was about 10 years ago or so, the Night Initiative in California. Uh-huh. I just lost it. I got so mad that the church got involved in politics and stuff with the gay marriage, and so I got my name taken off the church records.
So you officially wanted to disassociate yourself with them?
Yeah, and my parents don't. I don't think they know that I did that.
And what about you, Ellie?
I think it was kind of separate. My disenchantment with the church and me finding out my sexuality. I just was finding that it did not fulfill my needs anymore. It was fine for me when I was a young woman and on my mission, and I don't regret my mission at all. It was a wonderful experience, amazing people.
Did you have any baptisms? Or did you
help?
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Some really cool people, and I think it'd be funny if they found out about it, me being gay. But I just felt like it didn't really fit in with my what I believed in my heart about life in general and different things. It didn't bring me peace. But it brought me opposite peace.
So it was more of a discontentment with kind of how it made you feel, and that it wasn't fulfilling, more than like any doctrinal issues that you had.
Well, there are some specific things that I didn't agree with and had problems with. It felt like no matter how empowered the church said that women were, that they really weren't.
Right.
They didn't really have as much power as they pretended that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different experiences along the way. One of my sisters, her husband was abusing my niece, and my sister went to her bishop, and he said, you know, give him some time and he'll repent and whatever, and didn't report the asshole, and
oh, man.
Things got worse, and now he's in prison, and my niece is just got out of a mental institution.
Aww.
So
yeah, that's horrible.
And I know that he was just one man. That's just that bishop was just one man that made a mistake, and he's not an example of the whole church. I understand that mentally, but emotionally, you know.
Yeah, that can be devastating to a testimony, especially when it's not a sole example, and we know that that's kind of thing has happened more than just once. So, I mean, for me, the women issues in the church played a huge role in when I decided to stop leaving, because I didn't want my daughter to be indoctrinated to think that she was somehow less than men. And also growing up as a female in the church, as you know, there's a huge stress that basically your whole worth is tied up in being a virtuous wife and mother.
Totally. I'll agree with you. Totally.
which is good. I mean, it works for a lot of people, and it's fulfilling and rewarding for a lot of people, but it doesn't work for everybody. And obviously, with the way the church is structured today, there's not a possibility for a couple like you to be married like in the temple, get the sealings and ordinances like other members would be able to do. How does that affect your view of the church and those kinds of issues?
Yeah, I don't want any part of the church, so it doesn't really affect my issue. And I haven't wanted any part of that for a long time. So
I felt like for so many years that, well, I had a group of single friends, so we were kind of, you know, sat in the back row of the church, and it kind of felt like we were singled out as being like the special. We got to make sure that these girls that are single feel special, included, and. You know, their hearts were in the right place, our ward members, but I don't know. It always felt like, you know, I was a second class citizen because I was unmarried and didn't have any children, and
mm-hmm.
Mother's Day. I can't tell you how much I hated Mother's Day.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really likes Mother's Day in the church.
You know, having to stand up, and they, you know, made a point, all women over the age of 18, stand up and we'll give you a flower or whatever.
Yeah, and you're like virtual mothers or something, somehow.
And they made a point of, you know, their talks were about how you don't have to bear a child or adopt a child to be a mother. There's other ways to mother. And they always made a point of that. And I'm like, you know what, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a mother, and that's okay. Don't focus it on that, you know?
But, you know, if they didn't do that, then those who weren't mothers would complain also. So
yeah.
They can't really win on it because of how their whole system is structured. There's not really a place for women who aren't, you know, married with children. So do you think that affects how you now see your relationship with each other and maybe any plans on becoming parents? I mean, all the early indoctrination, and maybe that has nothing to do with it, but do you want to talk to that a little bit?
I think it was totally stuck in my head that I needed to find a mate and have children. And it's only been within the last couple of years that I've been able to realize that, you know, I can be whole without being a mother, you know. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
that was never a possibility before. I mean, that was something that you were never taught was even a possibility, right? When you were growing up.
Right. You know, it never even entered my mind that I could be a happy single woman or a happy in a couple and not have children. It was always one goal.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I was 35 before I lost my virginity.
Mm-hmm.
I had that one goal in mind and I kept sticking with it.
Yeah, 35. Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So no plans for children. You're complete as a couple, at least for now.
We have a dog.
They're fun without all the huge complications that children bring. All right. So do you guys have any wisdom or advice for women who are currently in the church or kind of working their way out of the church who have some idea that maybe they're not straight. Maybe they're bisexual. Maybe they're homosexual. Do you have any wisdom for them?
I'd say just let go of the guilt. Don't let everybody around you guilt you into trying to be straight or whatever. My mom, she tried to play the guilt card for a long time, and she still does sometimes, but mm-hmm. just you gotta let go of that guilt. And you deserve to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Before I even came out to myself as being bisexual, I kind of my little, I don't know, mantra or motto or whatever was this above all, to thine own self be true, from Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how important that would be until a few years later. And once you can be totally honest with about who you are and what makes you happy and about your value as a person, then you can't be honest with other people and you can't be happy unless you are honest. So that's the advice I'd give to people. And to out the pride organization in whatever city any gay people may be in. If there's any, you know, nobody near you, then search them out online, because finding that kind of contact, that's important.
So how big is the Pride organization down where you guys are? Basically, Southern Utah.
Well, the Pride Association, Inc. has kind of put things on the back burner right now just because they're having a hard time finding support. But as far as like the gay community itself, I wouldn't even venture to put a number to how many gay people there are, because not everybody's out of the closet. But we have quite a few gay friends that we hang out with. I'd say 500 people or so, maybe out of the closet here in the area.
Wow.
There's PFLAG and stuff besides just Pride.
Right. Yes. PFLAG is very good. The Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays.
Okay.
So, and then for the young people, the Gay Straight Alliances in the high schools and colleges, very important.
Oh yeah. If only they had that for you, huh? When you were.
Yeah. I didn't know one person in my whole high school. Not one person, but since I've graduated, you know, we're just, you know, which has been like 20 years ago, I found out that a couple people since then have come out. So
you weren't as alone as you thought, but you.
Yeah, they probably were going through the same thing I was going through.
Which was difficult, I'm sure.
Very difficult.
And I had that same thing. This girl that I would hang out with all the time from junior high and high school, just reconnected with her online last year, and come to find out she's gay.
Oh.
So that was cool. And we went to the same tiny high school.
Well, it's good that the more the gay issue is kind of publicized and more people become aware and accepting, then the more people can kind of become more comfortable with letting their own sexual preferences out of the closet and hopefully find more peace and happiness through that.
Definitely.
Did you guys get involved with the Proposition 8 at all, or I mean, with protesting or anything?
Not really, not too much. My job kind of makes it hard for me to get too involved. I work at nights and sleep in the day, so I'm not really out much.
Okay. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss or share?
Just that we're planning on getting married in October, even though it won't be legal.
Really? You're planning a wedding?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we are.
Congratulations. Are you going to wear, I don't know, are you going to wear like a traditional wedding dresses or?
No.
No?
No, DJ doesn't wear dresses.
I kind of figured that. I figured that part of her uncomfortability in church would have been having to put on a dress every Sunday.
Yeah, she's kind of butch and I'm kind of femme, but not that that's necessarily the standard for lesbians.
Right, it kind of...
It just turns out that way for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hated getting dresses on when I was a kid, but...
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things about planning our wedding is, well, the hardest thing is knowing that it won't be legal and that it won't be recognized by a lot of people. Probably the second hardest thing would be that we're going to have to pay for it ourselves.
You don't have any parent support on this?
I doubt that they're going to want to, but I don't know. Knowing her mother, she's been great. She's kind of a party lady, likes to plan parties, so kind of doubt she's going to want to stay out of this. She's going to want to get involved and hopefully help us pay for it.
That'd be nice. You're going to invite your family, and hopefully they'll come, right? Or are you not going to invite your families?
Yes, I invite my siblings and their families and my parents. My mother, I can almost guarantee you she won't come.
That's too bad.
But on my dad, I don't know whether or not, but my siblings will be there.
Well, congratulations. I hope it's a great ceremony, and you deserve each other. You deserve happiness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on Mormon Expression. It was great to hear your story and your perspective. And for the listeners, you can comment on this podcast at MormonExpression.com.